Fountain.
Blog Talk Radio. Ready?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Monday, August the 4th, 2014. Our calling number is 646-200-4169, and press 1. That puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Well, thank you, dear heart. I don't know if the wind noise might be a little too much at the moment. How am I coming across? Is it noisy?
It is noisy, but we can hear you.
Okay. Well, I'm just getting off the interstate. A couple of ladies up at the airport, and we're getting ready to head to Heartland for the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive. And we welcome everybody to the show. We're delighted and honored that you choose to join us in this process of learning, understanding, and applying.
Can you pull it closer to your mouth? It's gotten louder.
I'll tell you what, why don't you just go ahead and do a brief introduction and give me a minute or so and I'll be off the highway.
Okay. All right, so we welcome you to the show, and like Michael said, he's picking people up at the airport. Our next intensive starts today with an evening meal tonight, and then we'll start class right after dinner. And this is the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And so we have some people that are driving in today, and Michael's picked up two ladies at the airport. And so he's going to drop them off somewhere where they can grab a bite to eat while we finish the show, and then we'll be all on our way back to the airport. So what our work is about is based in the Aramaic forgiveness, and that is, you know, if you and I interact and I become angry, this culture has taught us to say, but I forgive you for making me angry. And no one can make you anything. They can't make you happy, sad, or anything. It's all an inside job. And so true forgiveness from the Aramaic is, I will go inside and remove my anger. So it doesn't matter what happens in my space, I can stay connected to my source. And so that's what this work is about. And we welcome you to the show. And first, we do have a hand up, but first I'll welcome Dr. Tim. Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing beautifully, thank you. It's a delight to be here. And are we doing our parent-teacher talk Monday?
Well, I'm looking like, as we speak, to see if I can see Susie's number, and I do not see it. So I'm not sure if she's going to be with us on the show or not. But, yeah, Monday is a parent-teacher talk, and we've been kind of concentrating our Monday talk around raising children and parent issues and things like that. So, yeah, I'd say even if Susie doesn't get to join us, let's definitely stay on that topic.
All right. Well, I'm just blessed to be here and having a very productive day. We're trying to wrap up the renovations on the office, so if we hear loud noises and I get too loud, I may have to duck off, but other than that, I'm doing well, and I think we had a fairly productive show on Friday. How did the ending of the intensive go with your still point breathing?
Oh, it was an awesome Friday. It was, I mean, like, it was amazing. We started Friday morning, and the intent was to do the, to do just kind of a wrap-up and then to do the breath work and then give everybody the evening to do their evaluations. And then on Saturday morning, we did the closure of going over doing the score comparison from the beginning to the end. Well, we started class Friday morning at 9 o'clock. We took a very short intermission for lunch. I mean, like 30 minutes to eat an apple or something, and went into the breathing. And by the time we finished processing and everything, it was like almost 6 o'clock that night when we finished.
Wow.
It was amazing. The day had gone like a full day with hardly stopping. And I think it was just everybody was so ramped up, and it was like everything was coming to a like a climax on it. It was just amazing. And very good breath session, very good processing. And then Friday night, I actually went into kind of a healing crisis. And Saturday, stayed in bed Saturday morning, didn't even go down to class Saturday morning. And I did come with Michael Springfield because at the time we thought that it was my appendix. And I said, well, if it is my appendix, I'd be better off in Springfield than in Theodosia. So I came on with him, and we did some energy work and did a lot of enzymes, and we got that under control. And so I'm feeling much better and ready to go for the next 9 days. So,
wonderful.
Definitely powerful.
Wonderful. Well, we're holding the space for everyone who was doing breathing. And we had a show where Michelle decided to do some work. I don't know if you heard about that, but
she did text me. She said that Dale missed the show, and Michael actually talked to him, and I think he kind of went into a time warp or something, and it just got past him. He had intended to be there, and it just, I guess, totally flipped beyond his remembrance or recognition. But anyway, Michelle said that since there were no callers, that she had offered herself up. I think her term was as a sacrificial lamb. It was sounds like it ended up being perfect.
Well, yeah, the space was cleared and she made excellent use of it, and I think it was a wonderful show for her and anybody else who's, you know, open to doing their own work. It was all perfect. And we kept holding the space for the people doing the breath work and for Dale. And I'm sure it was great for everybody who was listening on the show on Friday as well.
Well, I'm sure it was too. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I am absolutely sure that it was perfect. You always do such a phenomenal job, and we really appreciate you stepping in all the time when you do. And you are much appreciated.
Well, you're very welcome and deserving. And, of course, the show was as good as it was because Michelle stepped in with a question. And we always ask people to put your hand up and ask your question because that's what makes the show really deep, really interesting. Because when one person has a question, it's a question that resonates with anybody else who's willing to do their work. And even those of us who've been doing it for years and years can benefit by hearing what someone would think is the most ordinary or simple or basic of questions, because if you're open to it and you reexamine the material from a new level, you get a new level of insight. So thanks to Michelle for doing that and helping Friday be a very useful and productive show for anybody who wants to take advantage of it.
Cool, and they can go to the archives if they want to give a listen to that show and touch into it. And as far as the, you know, with the parent-teacher talk, it's I think that reparenting the adults in our world is also an important key in the whole process, because so many of the issues that people are dealing with 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later are five-year-old issues. They started when somebody was five, when somebody was four. We had someone in the intensive who realized that this past intensive that touched into, they kept doing worksheets, and just couldn't get to the core of this one thing they were dealing with. It was like, you know, I want to leave. I want to check out. And got back to being about 6 years of age and realized that that they had an event happen with someone at that very early age and decided that they wanted to die. And, you know, in that six-year-old's mind, dying was a way to get even with this person. And, you know, this person's probably in her early 30s, been carrying this death thing since he was six, and finally touched into it and realized the root of just a big chunk of the hostility that's run a lot of her life. It's awesome. And we had another young man who has been in the military, been through a lot of trauma and drama, a lot of pain, and brought up in a pretty rough neighborhood, in a pretty rough world, in a pretty with a very abusive single parent, abusive to the point of extreme physical abuse. And what he touched into on the opposite side of the spectrum was his anchor and his lifeline was his grandmother, who really planted in him early in his life that he was here for something important and that he was an awesome, loving kid. And though he's gone through all kinds of insanity with drugs and alcohol and, you know, just crazy stuff, the anchor, the thing that really has kept him alive, he said at one point as he was processing this memory with his grandmother and her being that loving space and giving him that message about himself, that was what really kept him alive through war, through just, you know, all kinds of crazy things. So you know, there's the wonderful stuff there too. And when you uncover something like that, I think it on the positive side, it also opens another wonderful space for carrying forward, you know, really directly touching into that memory that's been buried is just monumental. And of course, if we can support parents and children in opening up to and realizing who that child really is, who they are, and of course our experiential definition of human life is hold the newborn child, and as you hold the newborn, you get the direct experience of what human life is. And that's what we're here to support, is that true experience and expression of human life. So it is awesome to have the opportunity to move these ideas forward on the planet. And Jeannie tells me you've got a hand up, so let's check in with our hand up.
Okay, I think this might be Lisa LeMay, 516. You're on the air.
Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Good, thanks. I was listening to the show on Friday, and your associate was so great in the way he handled it. And just standing and listening and seeing how it affected me and being in a place of love and realizing, you know, always looking back at yourself when something is an error, it just really made me focus. I went through a worksheet this morning and thought I cleared out something that was troubling me, and I recite all the time. My dad died when I was only 17, and I don't have a mindset on fixing things, so I automatically get frustrated. And instead, you know, I worked through that and forgave it and let it go and said I've, you know, spent 40 years fixing things, you know, that's not true, and canceling it, and it was good.
Powerful. That's awesome. It's always, you know, to me, that's one of the reasons for the show is that there's a great line in The Course in Miracles that says, when you are healed, you are never healed alone. And we all get a piece of the puzzle with each person that moves through another issue and opens that space for healing. So that's the whole idea of the process.
No judgment, no expectation, just standing in a place of love. And your associate has really impressed me. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but I was listening intently on Friday. It's just wonderful for you to be part of it because you just have so much empathy and patience and kindness and, you know, I just learned a lot from you on Friday.
Well, thank you. I'm glad it was useful.
Yeah, I've been listening to the shows a lot. I know I wasn't able to make the intensive, and, you know, I'm going to be working with Jeannie in the future. And so instead, you know, I've been working myself. I have all the DVDs and, you know, doing the worksheets and listening to the shows. And I just realized just, oh, my gosh, the shows are so informative and so open up consciousness, you know, in so many different areas just listening. I'm usually chicken to get on the and hit one. I remember Michael was saying, I think last week, you know, I know you're out there. You know, all you have to do is hit one, you know. But,
well, do you have a question or a thought for us?
Well, just that I'm looking forward to getting involved with the work. And, everyone sounds so intelligent and so acclimated to your work already. I feel like still I'm a novice, and so I'm hesitate to hit one. But if I don't have a real question, you know, but I wanted to hit one today because I wanted to acknowledge how wonderful your work is and looking forward to working with Jeannie and being part of an intensive. And I'd love to hear about the other people's, you know, what's happened with them. You know, like just Jeannie before was talking about what happened on Friday. He went the whole day till 6 o'clock, and everyone's having breakthroughs and stuff, so it was great.
It was a pretty awesome day. And just on the outside chance, you know, one of the questions that we often ask is, how does it look like your life? And this might be a pointer, your comment might to your next worksheet. And how does it look like to think I'm the novice, I'm not good enough, I don't do it well enough? And, you know, when you mention how everybody sounds so smart, by comparison, maybe is there an old habit of maybe a power person who put you down and gave you messages like that?
Yes. Well, you know what I had gotten out of also was the perfection thing. That's huge in my life, and that's one of the biggest things I got out of last week is having that burden of perfection and always, because I didn't have the support in my life to always step up and be Wonder Woman and you know, to cancel those goals and to let myself off the hook, to get in touch with who I am and who I've evolved to, you know. And I listen to the people, and I do, you know, because they've been following your work so closely. They have, you know, I'm more in the question stage to learn, so I don't have answers to my questions. But I know that I don't mean to really go there. I just am in the learning process, and I'm really working on it the last 2 years. I'm down in South Florida, and always been supportive of Jeannie and Michael's work here and everywhere. And so I look forward to getting direction from Jeannie and working on it, you know, and having some quality time now regularly with her. You know, I'm really excited about it. And she said she would get back to me, maybe working with me through the intensive, and she didn't. So I figured, you know, you guys were tied up. And now I hear you're starting another one today. So I just wondered, that's one of the reasons I hit one, was to know when we could work together and when you guys were freed up.
So, well, I'll check with Jeannie and we'll...
Oh, no problem. Most likely you're always tied up when you're doing intensive, so she doesn't do outside work because I can imagine that.
Okay. Well, Jeannie will get back to you to set up an appointment maybe for a couple of mornings this week.
Okay, good.
So it's been really, you know, she just got back from Tennessee just before this last intensive started, and it was just a whirlwind. So it'll quiet down with this second one. We've got a little smaller group. So she'll get back to you. And in the meantime, I'm delighted for you that you've become a retired perfectionist. That's awesome. And some worksheets around self-put down might be a good idea.
Excellent. Well, thank you again, and blessing sent. And we'll talk soon, and have a great intensive.
In the plan. All right. Take care. Blessings. Bye-bye. So our number is 646-200-4169. Dr. Tim, anything to report on patterns you're seeing today? Anything particular that seems to be showing up?
Well, not a distinct pattern, although two people have come in, and the second one was just shocked at what happened when she did the canceling of her goal to figure things out, because she'd been running through a lot of a cycle of negative thoughts from the past.
Right.
And so between sessions, she did a goal-canceling process that we had outlined. She didn't feel she was capable of doing the worksheet process. So we gave her a simple three-step goal-canceling process with some tapping to do, and when she did it, the internal dialogue stopped. And the difference was so dramatic that she felt scared. And she had the thought, well, now what am I going to do if I don't have that negative pattern in my head, if I don't keep going over and over all of the negative stuff from my thoughts? And her quiet, her settled, calm, open state lasted for an hour or so, and the entire time she thought, well, this is just too odd. What am I going to do if I can't go back to my negative thoughts? And I just thought it was a wonderful example of how, you know, here's a woman in her 70s, and she's had this negative internal pattern going for decades, and she's recognized it's not productive, and she wants to change it. And as soon as she finds a tool that lets her change it, it's the change is so dramatic that it feels unsettling. It feels scary.
Right.
So
I hear that.
And I just said to her, well, you know, the big issue here is you just proved to yourself that this technique works. And so if sometime in the future you find that you don't like the negative pattern, now you have something you can use. And she said, yeah, but the negative pattern came back. Why did it come back? I said, well, it's the habit. It's the default habit. And
it sounds like in her hour of being free of it, she kept looking for and calling him back. And, of course, if we keep looking and asking, you know, a resetting of the goal can happen pretty subtly. And, of course, goals drive the mind, so there's the pattern.
Yeah, and that's what shows up. Ask and you receive.
Yes. It always just, it still amazes me when people cancel a goal, just what goes on, and that 2,000 years ago, the technology to do that, the understanding of the way the mind worked to produce that result that's available is mind-boggling, amazing.
So that's been the theme today, the idea of the habitual thought pattern and what it takes to change that up, and how canceling the goal is such a powerful tool.
I
just reminded her of, you know, research in psychology has said for a long, long time now that if I want to create a behavior pattern and develop it into a habit, it takes steady application every day for either 21 to 30 days, depending upon which research you look at. And she could form a new habit, and she could really strengthen that habit until it becomes a default and push that old negative thought pattern out of the way. So she'll give it a try, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Did she go through to step 7 of a resetting of a constructive goal or a loving goal?
Well, that's what I was working with her on, is that's that setting that, you know, getting to the point where it's okay for her to be without the negative pattern, and in that moment she can focus on a loving thought, in that moment she can make a positive goal for the future, and in that moment she can just focus on her breathing and have gratitude for being there with that calm state. So we'll see how that works for her.
Cool. What a nice gift to give. So our calling number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question for us, if you push 1, that puts a little hand up in the control panel. She will introduce you. We'd love to hear your voice, your questions, your thoughts, your answers, your ideas. And if there's any way that we can support you, our purpose in doing Mind Shifters Radio, 5 days a week being here for a conversation, is to create that support. And if you're ready to take your work to the next level, www.whyagain.org, that's our website, all kinds of free information, especially on the forgiveness process. You'll see in the middle of the page a bullseye. If you click on that bullseye, that will open a whole series of links. And the first link is a free download of Chapter 24 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Step by Step talks about the forgiveness process. The second link is the latest reality management forgiveness worksheet process. And then there are at least a dozen radio shows where either Tim or Jeannie or I have walked somebody through the forgiveness process step by step. So a full set of instructions for how to do that. And then there are links to all kinds of other tools and worksheets. Everything that we do is there. And if you're ready to move to still another level, of course, we're starting an intensive today. Unless you are close by this evening, tomorrow by noon, you'd be a little hard-pressed to get here to start, but it's a possibility. Then on the 22nd of August, we'll be starting a 16-day Laws of Living. So that'll be our fifth and final segment of our intensive season. And so we're here to support you if you're ready to take your work to the next level. We've also got a teacher training scheduled, a 9-day for those that want to really deepen their experience. The whole 9 days is spent on the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop and the principles of that aspect of the teaching. And so we've got lots happening, and then we're on the road. If you're up in Dr. Tim's neck of the woods, we'll be heading to St. Louis and making a stop there for a few days, the second week in September, and then we'll be heading to Woodstock, Illinois, spending a week there. We're working on, still haven't confirmed Naperville, Illinois, but hoping that will fall in place. Then we head to Grand Rapids, Michigan, if you're in that area, and then Lansing. And we'll be doing a 9-day intensive in just north of Lansing. We have this awesome space in a small community, this beautiful white columned house on Lake Mead, Michigan. So we'll be doing a 9-day intensive there. And then we'll be heading south. We'll be heading somewhere warmer. So that's the plan. So if you're anywhere in that route or you're ready to do an intensive, let us know. If you want to perhaps join us for Laws of Living teacher training, there is a prerequisite for teacher training of the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And we haven't actually set the title for the Pickney, Michigan workshop. It'll start on October 31st. We're going to leave that up to the early adopters, just what topic we do, what direction we go in with that intensive. So lots happening. We'll then be heading to South Florida. We're looking at the whole state of Florida. We're probably going to start up around Pensacola. We're just setting the schedule. So keep an eye on our website, and you'll know exactly what we're doing. And we'll look forward to hopefully getting to connect with you somewhere along the way in that process. And beyond that, we're just delighted that you're with us. And again, 646-200-4169 is our calling number. If you have a question or a thought for us, we'd love to hear your voice. If you're a little nervous about getting on the radio, take a breath, let go of the nervousness. Your question's important. And even if your question comes from someone, this is the first introduction you've had to the work. Oftentimes, the very basic questions are the things that can remind us on the deepest level of perhaps a step that we've missed or not understood in the process in the early stages. And so we would love to hear your questions and your thoughts. And especially, you know, Dr. Tim has his book on parenting, which is available. I'd love to talk about one of the most to me, awesome ideas that Dr. Sims come up with around kids is the family name becoming an acronym. You want to share that tool, Dr. Sims?
All right. I don't take credit for it. I found it in a number of different places. One of them was in probably the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families. But it's the idea of using the last name and creating a list of qualities that you as a family want to exhibit or embody as you're interacting with each other and people outside the family, and use each letter of the last name as the first letter of a word that embodies a quality that you want to create your mission statement or your family value structure. And so what I recommend is that families sit down with their children and a dictionary, if you can find one before they go extinct with the internet, and go to the first letter of the last name and open up the dictionary to that letter and start scanning through and letting the children scan through and looking for any word with a positive connotation to it that they might want to add to a list. And then this is the brainstorming phase of the project, and you do that for every letter in the last name. And then when you have a collection of words, one for each of the letters in your last name, then you have a family discussion and vote on which of those words will be used in the final product. And then you have a list of words or an acronym that your last name becomes an acronym for all of these words, and it spells out your mission statement, your value system, your preferred method of dealing with people, whether it's, you know, if you've got the Hayes family, they're honest and they're appreciative and they're, I can't think of one for why right now, but you get the idea. And then we have this list of our letters in our name and the words that go along with it that spell out our values and how we want to treat each other, and we make a copy of that and put one in every room of the house. And then we make an agreement with the people in the family that the parents and the children are free to let each other know whenever their behaviors don't match up to what we say as a family we want to be and the way we want to act. And we get the children permission to alert the parents, as well as the parents' permission to alert the children. And then we don't have to do a lot of lecturing. We just have to say, this behavior or this set of words you just used don't strike me as being very patient. And here's our list of traits that we want to exhibit patience. So, and then everybody says, oh, okay, I can look at the piece of paper on the wall, and I can look at what I just said, and I can make a judgment that says, thank you for pointing out how my energies or my behaviors or my words were off target. And every time I've had a family who's actually done that, they've come back and been very, very happy with the results.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty awesome tool. It's nice to have a short name like Hayes or Rice. Kowalski could get a little awkward with the family mission statement there. But good tool, good tool. Well, Jeannie, is there anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue? 646-200-4169. She's shaking her head. We don't have a hand up. So one of the things that we focused on this last intensive we did was codependence to interdependence and communication practicum. And it's the first time that we've done the communication practicum the way that we did. And it actually, it turned out, I don't think we've got the new communication worksheet process on the website yet. I haven't given it to Jeannie, but the feedback we would take any time two people had an issue going on, we would invite them to come up in front of the room, and we did the responsibility communication with the coach and going through that process. And it added some refinements to the worksheet. It's the first time that that worksheet's changed in, oh, I don't know, 10 or 12 years. And we'll make sure we get it posted so people can tap into it. And it was just really awesome to be in the space with the coaching and to watch, you know, as opposed to the way most of the world languages, you know, one of the things that became very apparent in this practical aspect of it in applying it is how people, generally speaking, are talking about something outside of them and how that needs to change and how that's the problem, that's what upsets them, and that's where, you know, the challenge lies. And to watch if someone actually uses the tool of responsibility communication, how one climbs down inside and really comes face-to-face with the issue that they're looking for support and healing, as opposed to, you know, if you could be different, then I wouldn't have to heal this issue. I wouldn't have this issue going on. It just became so clear. And to just watch somebody climb down inside their mind to drill down into, you know, what is it really that I want support and healing here, as opposed to what is it really that I want you to change so I don't have to look at what I need to heal. It's just the difference of night and day. And so communication, did you hear what I think I said, is another pretty awesome tool. The responsibility communication worksheet is that process for how do I move into languaging in a way that, number one, I realize that when I describe a reality, I'm describing the output of my own mind. I'm not describing what's happening in the world. And when I describe what's happening in my own mind accurately, I get to get in touch with what's really going on. And, you know, so often the stuff that's really going on is based in hostility or fear and leads to complete and total hallucinations, because when the mind is using its output based on hostility or fear, it's using corrupt data to build that particular perception, that particular way of seeing. And as you work with it, the importance of keeping perception tweaked to the highest and best information just becomes so powerfully apparent, the need for that, and how the biases created by hostility and fear can throw the output of the mind into a spin, and how our culture has taught us if our mind's in a spin, then somebody else is the problem, and we need to stay focused on them. You know, what we're dealing with might be something that happened 25 years ago, but somebody else is the problem, and that's what needs to change, is the way they did, what they did, how they did, why they did, what they said, when here I am dealing with a problem that's a quarter of a century old. And when I can acknowledge that I'm dealing with a problem that's a quarter of a century old, I'm not dealing with today, then I get the opportunity to start to clean up those old realities based in hostility or fear and the distortions that they create in my perception of the people around me. It becomes such an awesome tool to engage in. So you might want to go, if you haven't looked at that tool, we'll get it posted. I'll make sure to send it to Jeannie later today. I don't have my computer with me in Springfield, but when we get back to Heartland, I'll send it to Jeannie and so she can get it posted, so that if anybody wants to look at the new tweaks on the communication, did you hear what I think I said, worksheet tool, we'll make sure that's available. Beyond that, things are just moving forward. We're going to be heading to start our 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive this evening. And Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room? Anybody with a hand up in the phone queue? Well, then, with no waiting, if you've got a question, if you push one, your hand will go up, and Jeannie will know you have a question for us. And if Dr. Tim and I had been having the conversation that we've been having, Dr. Tim was sharing about the negative thought pattern and how it collapsed, the communication process, if we just had this conversation live and in an auditorium in your city and we came down off of the stage, Would you be coming over to us with a thing when people ask questions and you're out lecturing? It's interesting. They're all, I just have a short question. I don't think I've ever had anybody say, I have this really long question for you. It's always a short question. So would you be coming over and asking Dr. Tim your question? If so, here's the chance to do it. Just push one. If you're nervous about being on the radio, let go of your nervousness and go ahead. If your voice is a little shaky, that's okay. We'll be delighted to hear your question. Or do you have a question for me? We would love to hear your voice. If you push one, you'll be next in the phone queue. Seven, six, five, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Michael. This is Sunny.
Hey there, young lady. How are you today?
I'm good. I have a question about maybe overthinking things a little bit, but from your most recent statement there, when we're doing, you know, going through the processes I have done, I've reached a point of where the question comes up about, I don't really feel that what I'm experiencing is so much my very own. I have, in fact, confirmed and discovered that it is generational.
Right.
How, then, is that not projecting or blaming my stuff that I carry in my geneticism on my genetics? Does that make sense to you? I mean, how do...
Well,
I mean, I thought I was cooking along really good, and I did some serious deep work, and my generations leaped out upon me, and oh my goodness, I didn't know that stuff there, and I am living it, I am enduring it, I am trying to, you know, reaching this point of where to embrace this, and it's more than a mouthful, Michael. Yeah, without projecting and being as responsible as I can, because this is serious stuff.
So it's pretty simple. The difference between blame and responsibility is this. In blame, I go, woe is me, my father did this, or my grandfather, and here I am having to live with the effects of it. That's the blame game. The responsibility game is, you know, it seems the way this memory is coming forward that this might be something, and I can kind of remember hearing stories about my great-grandfather. This might be something that comes from my great-grandfather, and so I'm ready to embrace this. Of course, he's been dead for decades, and so I'm going to go inside myself. I'm going to embrace this dynamic and move through it, and I'll share with you an actual event from my life where a generational memory very clearly came forward. And you know, I've always had pretty good control of my temper. It took a lot for somebody to get me riled, except in one circumstance, and that was when I was behind the wheel of a car. And in the early years of doing this work, I could be in a fist-shaking rage in a half a second if somebody did something stupid driving a car, what my mind considered to be stupid, you know, cutting somebody off or what have you. And it would just be this instant inflamed energy that would come up in me. And it was an issue that I had consciously, purposely worked on for a period of about probably 5 years. And this goes back to when I was carrying my son on my hip, and he's now 32 or 33. So, you know, he was maybe two. So it goes back over 30 years ago. And what I got in touch with as I was doing some forgiveness work around this, what the guidance was, and, you know, you've heard me speak about some of the skills that we need to create. One of the skills that we need to create or to practice is the ability to decode the content of our own minds. You know, when somebody says, I don't know why I did that, they're not in touch with what's motivating their behavior. They're unconscious. And so to develop the skill and the ability to decode that kind of content. And so in this particular case, what I received was the input that this anger that would come up like that when driving was an anger inherited from my great-great-grandfather. Now, I didn't know my grandfather, let alone my great or my great-great-grandfather, but that's the way it was presented to me. Now, of course, I could say, well, you know, that might just be a fantasy. I don't know if it was really his or not. And the truth is, it doesn't matter. What matters is what happened as a result of it. And so I guess I could have stood in the space of, great-great-grandfather, why were you such an idiot? Why did you do this? You're really, you know, and I'd be stuck in my blame game, and it wouldn't get me anywhere, just like most people are stuck in their blame game with everybody else around them for the content of their own mind. But instead, what I did was, in realizing that that was, or at least having the guidance that that's where it came from, was I had a conversation with my great-great-grandfather. I invited him to be there, and I explained that the information that I'd just gotten had indicated that this was an inherited anger from him, and that I was ready to be done with it, and I was going to let it go, that he could have it back if he wanted it, or I'd let it go for both of us. I never really got an answer on that, but I just let that go. I just went into the forgiveness process and removed that anger. Now, I'm talking about something that I've worked on consciously, purposely, for about 5 years, and, you know, I'd think I had it handled, and I'd be driving down the road, and bang, there it would be again. That day, I have had not had a fist-shaking event behind the wheel of a car. It hasn't happened. People can do stupid things, and I'll take a breath and bless them and say, I hope you get home safely, but that rage response just isn't there anymore. Now, again, was it really an inherited rage from my great-great-grandfather? Gee, there weren't any cars around when he was around. Well, it may or may not be. As I say, it doesn't really matter. Did dealing with that remove the rage from my structure? And it did. And, of course, there were transportation systems around. Maybe it was a horse and buggy, but transportation, you know, the mind organizes things in files. So for me, that would be the difference between blaming and taking responsibility. And so if I get in touch with something that seems to be genetic, I own it, I apply forgiveness, I remove it, I get free of it. I thank the person who I originally interacted with to get in touch with it and move forward. So that would be, for me, how I would handle it and have handled it in the past.
Okay. I'll probably re-listen to this and see if I can apply that toward this circumstance, if you will.
You can.
Thank you. And
all right.
My heart and soul is walking to Heartland. I truly do, without excuse. I have some pretty serious obligations here that I'm not able to depart during these dates, so I'm still thinking about that date of the 22nd. Hopefully things are cleared up by then, and as I really, really look very forward to the relief of being there and making progress in these areas, because it's not found anywhere but with you, Michael, you and Dr. Tim and Jeannie. God bless all of you.
Well, we're delighted to be on the team, and if you choose to make it for that intensive, that would be awesome. It certainly is a whole different kind of space, and the energy of support for things to move in that space is just monumental. In this particular teacher training, I think as it's going right now, we're going to have, I believe, 5 different active teachers who will be participating in this particular intensive, coming to review Laws of Living. So that'll be a pretty awesome space with all those teachers, and there'll certainly be a lot of skill, a lot of support, and a lot of practice and willingness there.
I would really appreciate it if you and I could communicate more strongly on how I can really make that happen, Michael. It is definitely almost a requirement for me at this point, and
mm-hmm.
I appreciate you.
Okay. We'll hold the space. All right.
Thank you.
Take care. Goodbye. Thank you for the call. Good question. 46-200-4169. Looks like we've got about 10 minutes left. So we've got time for another question or two. We'd be delighted to support you in understanding this first century Aramaic forgiveness process and every tool we teach. There are a whole series of different tools. If you look on the website, you'll see the codependence worksheet. We've actually got 3 different codependence worksheets now. I'm looking at perhaps creating a codependence too, to bring the two new codependence worksheets into the process. So we've got a power person worksheet and what's powering my awareness. So we'll probably be adding a new workshop to our roster. And then there's purpose, personal power, and commitment. The worksheet is available on the website. And you're welcome to go to the website and download any of these worksheets. And if you have questions about them, we're happy to support you. There are videos that go with each of them. So you can also go to the website. There's a catalog, and you can order from the catalog if you want to tap in and get a hold of these tools on another level. And, of course, buying the DVDs or the CDs is also a way to support our work and being out there. And or if you're somewhere in that general vicinity or area that we're traveling to, we'll be, as I say, heading to St. Louis and up to Chicago, Woodstock, Illinois, down into Naperville, Lansing, Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're going to be keynoting at the Spiritual Unity of Nations Conference in October. You can see all that information on our website. And then heading south, if there's anywhere along that path that you'd like to see us presenting in live workshops, when we travel like this, we pay our own expenses and workshops are free. So if there's anywhere we can touch a group, we'd be delighted to come and present. If it fits in our calendar, our schedule, then we'll be heading to Florida. We may stop and do something in Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm not just exactly sure. We do have some things scheduled in Bristol, Tennessee as well. So if you look at www.whyagain.org, you will see our schedule under the schedule, and we'd be delighted to see you and have you participate in the workshops along the way. So do we have anything happening in the chat room? We've got a hand up. Area code 810. You're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Jeannie. Hey, Dr. Tim. It's Adam from Michigan.
Hey, young man. Good to hear your voice. I hope we're going to get to see you in a few weeks.
Yes. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I was trying to, I looked into trying to be able to participate in the PICNI intensive, but I'm not eligible for vacation time until I work a longer time at my job.
Wow.
So.
Right.
So, yeah, I had to process quite a bit of disappointment around that, so... I don't know if there's any other way that I can, participate or volunteer or anything. But
of course, we'll be having the series. We'll be doing a week of workshops in Grand Rapids and another week in Lansing, so you can certainly come and participate in those events.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah,
cool.
Today,
so anything on your mind that we can support you with?
Yeah. Actually, I just had this experience at work where. I'm doing technical support now, and so we ask these standard questions, and I just spoke with a client, and it seemed like she had mentioned that I was really thorough in my questions, which is just kind of our standard documentation. But then I tried to contact her because she tried to get off the phone quickly, and when I tried to contact her back, people said it was a wrong number, and it triggered a lot of worry and other things around doing my job right, which I understand there's a lot of worksheet material here, but I tried calling the number a couple more times to make sure I got the right number to clarify something, and then the one woman was like, you got to stop calling this number because I already told you it was a wrong number. And so it was it just a really big trigger. It kind of reminds me of past experiences with my son's mother where, even the same thing, I could feel something in the lower left-hand part of my abdomen start to kind of pulsate and just almost feel like I want to start physically shaking, I started to, I realize it brings up shame, the thought of being misunderstood or something, or people seeing me as feeling afraid of being seen as creepy or something, but I was just trying to do my job and also I think bringing up stuff around being wrongfully accused too. And my son's mother used to direct a lot of hostility towards me, for oftentimes really minor things. I stayed right here with me right now. And I feel kind of
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, like, it's, yeah, I just sometimes feel like, you know, when given the right circumstance, it just, like, I'm kind of realizing that, like, this carbon-based memory stuff, like, being put in the right circumstance, I haven't developed, like, a strong enough presence of conscience. Like, it's just, yeah, in some ways, I feel, like, almost, like, helpless. I'm just surprised.
Well, if this thing operates, I didn't hear your last step. We got a bit of a delay, so we were talking over each other. Go ahead and say that again.
Oh, I was just saying. I just feel kind of surprised at, like, how strongly this still can come up. Like, just, you know, seemingly is, like, a pretty small event, like, you know, just misunderstanding with this other person or whatever reaction they had. And yet, yeah, triggered such a huge reaction in me.
Right. Well, one, I'd acknowledge you for being in touch with where the energy is loaded or locked into your body and letting yourself be with that. And it sounds like the core issue is one of fear of being in trouble. Have you done any worksheets in that arena?
Yeah, I've worked with, you know, I'm going to do it more directly. I haven't done a lot, so. But, yeah, you're right on. I mean, that's so right on.
Down to the point where it's kind of visceral. It's locked in your gut. And so I'd be doing some worksheets around my fear of getting into trouble. You know, am I going to be punished? Am I going to be hurt? What kind of things are going to happen as a result of me being in error? And so I'd say those would be the worksheets that would bear some fruit in touching into where that energy is or what that energy is that's locked in your stomach. And allow it to open and move it out of tissue. Just let it go because the tissue certainly doesn't need that load. And the goals that would fit with that were, you know, I want people to like me. I want people to love me. I want people to take care of me. Maybe I want people to acknowledge me. I'd be doing worksheets around all of those goals and just see which one clicks and keys you right into that part and allows the opening for that energy to be removed from your structure.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I've been aware of, like, this, you know, I mean, the situation that arises in that location of my body since, like, my early 20s. So it's been a really long time, but I've never fully moved it through. And it used to come up so strongly with my son's mother, so that's him being given a great human opportunity.
Sounds like it. And was there ever any of that energy with Mom?
Did you say with Mom?
Uh-huh. Seeing as how it happened with your former girlfriend, there's a good possibility it might be some with Mom. And, of course, with the fact that your mom's into doing her work, too, that'd be a great place to create a conversation with her and ask for support to move through it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't recall ever having that exact visceral experience with her, but, you know, perhaps when I was younger, I'd...
Yeah. And you might just ask her if there ever was any of that sort of thing that you're not remembering. That might just be a key into open it up. So we'll hold the space, and if there's any more support, any more questions in that regard that you have to ask, we're down to just the last few seconds, so I need to close the show out, but if there's more conversation or more support we can be, it would be a delight to hear from you. And in the meantime, give the world the best gift you can. Have the best you can get of your eternal life. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.